Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We need more people to talk about the game. We're in a great, great time to be a baseball fan.
Dale Arnold.
Can you compare this offense to anyone you've gone up against in the past?
Yeah, I don't know, Lou. I don't know. We'll see how it goes this week against the Bears defense.
You're as cold as ice.
Rich Keefe.
Hayward has broken his leg.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
The Bruins game is the hors d'oeuvre. Two Red Sox games are the entree. And then the Patriots should be the dessert.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Because let's be honest, we can all relate to food references, right?
I like food.
And we could, you know, if you tie it to food somehow,
yes,
it generally works for everybody.
I agree. Loud and clear.
So do you get the sense that at least Lou doesn't think Bill likes him very much?
There's a little bit of that going around, I think.
I saw Lou tweet about it yesterday, and there doesn't seem to be a connection there yet.
I was going to say, it's nothing personal, but you know what? It might be all personal. You know, when somebody says that, they're usually lying. Nothing personal. It's probably all
it's
personal.
It's like when they start with all due respect, which means I don't respect you a lick.
No respect on the way. Yeah, there might be a little of that, but it's still early in the year, Dale. You could still kind of feel that out. Now, meanwhile, Bill and I, we hit it off right away. The first day, right out of the shoes. Hey, Rich, nice to meet you. Lou, a little different story, but they have a lot more interviews to go. I assume this is going to go probably to the AFC
Lou's
Championship
sort
game.
Lou's sort of sounding like he's
fan
of some of these.
He'll start
you guys going at 18, I think, offensive defensive penalties all year long. That's got to be something you guys are proud of, obviously.
Yeah, we try to play penalty free every week. We've had too many penalties in the kicking game, but defensively not many, and offensively a few more in the defense, but still not bad.
That's a good answer.
What's wrong with that one?
That's a good answer.
So, Bill, at the end of the first quarter, you guys tried that squib kick with Gostkowski. I'm curious, was that properly executed? And if not, what was the plan on that?
Yeah, well, obviously, Lou, it wasn't anything that we didn't want to do anything like that. So,
was it miscommunication? Was he supposed to kick it deep? Or was that a failed onside type situation?
It was a bad play.
Kind of like Nunez.
Yeah.
With the snort and everything there at the end.
So evidently, I guess Christian's place in this group, in
trying
this troika,
mood.
Is to try to turn every football mistake into a baseball equivalent.
Yeah. So Lou will understand.
Sort of like Nunez.
Lou can't understand a squib kick, but he can understand a bad third baseman. He can get that part of it.
See, I think Lou's problem might not be with Bill. It might be with Christian.
Maybe with Christian. But like, we don't need the Nunez comparison. Let him answer the thing on the squib kick.
I hate baseball fans.
Thank you, Christian. Yeah, because the squib kick, that was definitely worth asking about. What the hell was that?
Bad play.
Just kick it out of the back of the end zone.
Shut up, Lou.
That's what I'm in favor of. Kick it all the way through. Let them start at the 25. Go from there.
I think that they have in the past actually used this to a bit of an advantage. First of all, I think Gostkowski's really good at it. What was the term Rob used yesterday? Mortar kick. It was something like that, you know, where he could just plop it down basically where he wants to. And generally speaking, they cover pretty well.
Oh, was it like a moon ball?
Moon ball, something like that. Right? Yeah.
You just kick it straight up in the air, but drop it around the five, and then everybody's down there. But
their problem is this year, they haven't covered him very
well. But his point is also right. Like, they're not letting these guys get these running starts, so they're just right there. So
you got to cover it differently.
You don't have as much of an advantage. And then Belichick even mentioned how they've had a bunch of penalties in the kicking game, too. Now, he's also talking about punt return, but even on kickoff. So that advantage, and I just feel like, again, you go back to risk-reward, and yeah, every once in a while, you tackle them at the 18 or the 20. Okay, you've saved 5 or 7 yards. But if the kick doesn't go right,
Generally speaking, last year, they did save.
They did a decent amount of
time. Almost consistently, you were not starting at the 25.
But then against a team like that, and then especially against good return men, now, it's not like, you know, Tyreek Hill isn't returning kickoffs, but you saw last year when they faced Cordarrelle Patterson, they didn't kick it to him. That was one team where they were like, all right, we're going to blast this through the end zone. Other guys they would kind of try it with, but I feel like, all right, you might save on 5 yards, but then you might also give up 25. Like, I just don't think it's worth it. But I thought it was a good question, not necessarily a well thought out answer, I guess, there.
Yet another shootout in the NFL last night.
Oh, of course.
Another comeback. You know, Green Bay comes back and gets the win over a game, but
CJ
Beathard, underman,
he played
San
pretty
Francisco
well.
49ers.
Yeah,
team,
not the same excitement had that been a Garoppolo game. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, both teams in the 30s once again. So, Dale, do you need a good defense to win in the NFL?
I think at this point with what they've done, you just need an adequate defense.
Right.
If you have a great defense, you're probably going to win everything.
If
but
that
there
even
aren't
exists.
Aren't any of those.
There may not be. And I think that you just can't.
That elite Jacksonville defense gave up a 40-burger to the Dallas Cowboys this week.
They got absolutely crushed. And then every guy on the Cowboys is doing the Conor McGregor walk, just really rubbing it in. But, yeah, I don't think – first of all, there probably aren't great defenses. And then after that, I think as long as you don't have the worst defense, like as long as you aren't the Falcons, you can win. Or maybe even the Chiefs. Like that could be what comes back to bite them.
Yes,
but their offense is so good that they should be able to outscore a lot of people.
See, I think that they will ultimately – whether it's the Patriots or somebody else or Super Bowl, ultimately Kansas City cannot win. Because they don't have even an adequate defense. They have a horrible defense.
Yeah, you can't be bottom five. But you don't need to be top five, which I think for years you did. And even when you wanted to point out a few examples of really good offenses, you looked at their defenses and they were all pretty good too. Like if you want to start from 2000 on, or even like the first Patriots, if you want to go from there and they started to tweak the rules a little bit, you know, like, hey, Ty Law, you're being too physical. You can't do that. But even after that, there were a lot of good defense. I mean, both Giants defenses that beat the Patriots were good. The Seahawks, when they won it, they had the Legion of Boom. That was a really good defense. But offenses became more, like, all of a sudden you did start to see teams where the offense was probably better than the defense to start to win Super Bowls. And now, that I mean, how many teams in the league have a defense better than their offense? I can't imagine it's that many, just because the way the rules are set up.
No, those are teams with really bad offense.
They're just right. Those are trash quarterbacks, and they're like, we don't even love our defense.
Our defense is at least okay.
Yeah, like Jacksonville should be one of those teams, and they still are one of those teams. Last week was a bad example for them. Their defense is better than their offense, but you wonder, all right, well, how far can that take you? Like, you still need I think it's swinging to the point where there's a great offense. Like, an interesting stat. There was never a game, even last season, where both teams scored in the 40s. And including the Patriots game from Sunday, there's already been three of those games this year. Or through 6 weeks, there's been three games where it's 40-something to 40-something. So, I mean, you're just going to continue to see more and more points. I mean, look at the last couple of Super Bowls,
too. I'll give you one whose defense is much better than their offense. Baltimore.
Yeah, although Flacco's playing pretty well.
But yeah,
the defense is better. You're right.
Their defense is a lot better than their offense.
Right. And so they might be one of the teams this year that you look at that you're like, hey, if you're a fan of defense, and if you think defense can still win in the NFL, latch on to Baltimore. That might be your only team. Like right now, anyway, they might be your only team. But even them, like Jacksonville, I thought was a really great defense. I still like them a lot. But, I mean, a great defenses aren't giving up 40, are they? Like, even with Bortles
it's not like they were giving up 40 to Kansas City or giving up 40 to the Patriots. Giving up 40 to the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, that's bad. You know, the team that the Patriots are going to be playing this Sunday, pretty good defense. But all of a sudden, their offense has started to score a lot more points, too, than the Bears. You know, they're 3-2 on the year. That's a good, really good defense with the addition of Khalil Mack. But they still score a lot of points, and they're going to have to. I mean, I don't think you're going to see many playoff games or Super Bowls where, you know, one team doesn't break 20. Like, you know, you go back to some of the early Patriots Super Bowls that are separated by 3 points, 4 points, you know, 17-14, 21-17. It seems like that's going to be impossible, like, especially all the Super Bowls where you have perfect field conditions, perfect weather conditions, like everything's perfect for you. It's just going to be an offensive shootout.
Are you a big believer in bulletin board material?
I do like bulletin board material.
Do you think it matters?
Yeah, I do.
Like when you when you were getting ready for the big tilt at Hobart.
Oh my God! Some of the stuff
and
they
the
would
other team
say,
would say stuff, and you guys would have it plastered all over the locker room.
Oh yeah, you'd see it on Facebook. They'd say, "Oh, the Hobart has ugly girls," and you would get fired up because it wasn't true, Dale.
No, it's
it
not.
Wasn't true.
Thank you.
It wasn't true.
Since I had one of those.
Oh, that's a good
going
point.
To school up there.
I'm married to one. So,
so there you go. So I always wonder about this whole bulletin board thing. Now, evidently,
Do you buy into it?
I don't know how much difference it makes.
I think it does. Like,
Dustin Pedroia thinks it does.
And if you believe it, like Rodney Harrison thinks it does.
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
If you
he would make
it,
up stuff.
Yes. And not maybe it doesn't work for everybody, but at least for enough guys, it does. Like, if you're looking for reasons, because everybody says, hey, they're professionals, they should be motivated anyway. Like, look at their paychecks, they should be motivated. Or, hey, you're in the playoffs, you should be motivated. That's all true. Like, that's fine. But if you're looking for a little something extra, sure, I think bulletin board material helps. Like, I thought it was stupid that Aaron Judge played New York, New York after game two, right?
Was that what it was? And evidently, it pissed off the Red Sox.
It did, and then they won two straight games, and then they were playing it in their clubhouse afterwards. So, obviously, that had some sort of effect on them. Again, I thought it was a dumb decision by Aaron Judge to do that, but it ended up working out for them. Maybe that was on their minds a little bit. So, all that stuff, I think to certain players, maybe not to all 25 guys. They don't all look at it and say, oh, like, this is making me mad. But at least a few of them.
I'm mad.
No, oh, this I don't care for. This is in poor taste. But, yeah, I think some guys probably motivate them a little bit more, sure.
Well, you get the feeling that maybe A.J. Hinch pulled Alex Bregman aside and said, hey, listen, we're 1-1. Let's not go out of our way to piss somebody off.
I don't know. Why did Alex? So Alex Bregman on his Instagram story,
he posted a video of them hitting back-to-back-to-back home runs off Nathan Eovaldi,
three straight Johnsons,
and Eovaldi was pitching obviously for the Tampa Bay Rays at the time,
just serving them up,
and did serve up three in a row
back-to-back-to-back
in Houston, you know, against the Astros.
I thought that was great,
and then he deleted it because I think AJ Hinch said, "What are you doing?"
Deleted it.
He did.
What a coward.
Did he delete it? I thought it was just one of the Instagram stories that only lasts for a certain amount.
No, he deleted it, they said.
Oh, my God. What a coward. That was great. So, again, I thought the Aaron Judge thing was stupid. Like, that didn't even make sense. It's not a great song, and it's dumb, and, like, whatever. But Bregman, and because Bregman was one of the guys that hit one of the home runs, that's the pitcher you're facing. That's good kind of trash talk type of stuff. And Major League Baseball has no personality. None. Zip. And Alex Bregman, if you're going to do something like this, now all of a sudden he becomes a little bit more of a character, right? Like, now more people are aware of Alex Bregman. We're not talking about the MVP type of numbers he put up during the season or how good he was in the playoffs last year. We're talking about his troll game. Good. Fine. He's got a little something to say. I think that's great.
So as it turns out, he was maybe aiming it at the wrong guy because Nathan Eovaldi might not know.
Wondering if you've been informed or seen Alex Bregman's video on Instagram.
No, you know, I don't have any of the social media or anything like that. The guys have told me about it. I think home run clips, right? Something like that. Yeah, so, I mean,
yeah,
I'm aware of it.
Three straight.
Does it impact you at all, motivate you? Or
no, I mean, I still have a job to do. I got to go out there and pitch my game tomorrow, and, you know, I can't have any distractions.
Ooh. Ice cold.
So he doesn't have those social media things.
He doesn't have.
But somebody does because somebody, I was made aware of him.
He doesn't
have.
You know,
I don't
have
any of the social media or anything like that.
I thought he was going to go to the whole Belichick. My money's
on Dustin Pedroia.
My book. Pedroia probably told him. There's a lot of guys that are active on there. Isn't it like Jackie Bradley on there? I'm sure those guys. Well, David Price, we know, although
how much he's on this year or not.
I'll tell you who didn't tell him was Chris Sale. That's one guy you know is not on there. It doesn't care about any of that stuff.
Probably not.
He's like, no, thanks. Although he might have been kind of bored sitting in the hospital. Maybe he was flipping through there. But so they told Eovaldi, but what do you want him to say? Because I think it probably does motivate him a little bit. Because,
well, it's obvious that somebody, either Alex Bregman had second thoughts himself, or somebody within the Astros organization said, listen, you know, let's
It's worse if you delete it. Don't you think? Like, you already put it out there. Everybody's already talking about it.
Yeah,
seen the video and everything else.
So ESPN just went to the highlights of that game
and
put together their own video.
There
and
it is.
Said, here, these are the three home runs back to back to back. And Altuve hit the third one.
And what it does, too,
onto
is
the train tracks.
Oh, he got a hold of that one, didn't he? He really did. But I think it puts a little bit more pressure on those guys. And maybe that's, you know, wanted pressure. Like, but for Bregman, so if you're going to post that video, Now, what if you go 0-for-3 against Eovaldi? You kind of look stupid for putting the video. But if you go out there and you're hitting a home run off him again, like, great.
See, that's why I wonder about how intelligent it is to put it up to begin with. Forget about whether you should have the guts to leave it up if you put it up.
Yeah, come on.
So as you said, you go up there and you know, take an offer. Yeah. By the way, he doesn't have a hit in the series yet because they don't pitch to him.
They don't pitch to the guy. He's 700 on base.
So he takes, as you said, an 0-for-3 with a couple of punch outs.
Yeah.
What do you then say in the post game? Well, stupid me.
Yeah, he changed it up a little bit. He's got good stuff tonight. He's a good pitcher. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It shows a little bit of his personality. He's obviously a bit of a trash talker. Like that's in him to say, hey, remember the last time we faced this guy? We went 3 straight home runs. You know what? I'm going to post that on Instagram. Why not? I think it's good stuff. But again,
our perspective, it's great.
No, but even I for wonder him, if, why not?
I wonder what they think in his own clubhouse.
I bet they like it.
Do the guys in the clubhouse say, come on, let's just get past these guys?
I think they probably like it. Now, it's one thing if you're kind of poking Chris Sale. Like, if you're poking somebody like that. You're poking Nathan Eovaldi, who I know is great, and I liked him in the Yankee series. But he also owns the Yankees. I don't think he owns the Astros. There's something about Eovaldi in that stadium, against that team, against some of those righties in that lineup, which is a little bit different.
Although I do think he's a better pitcher now than he was earlier in the year with
Tampa
Bay.
Yeah, I think he's healthier.
Well.
I think he's I think he's a little bit better.
He looks like he's a better pitcher.
Yeah, no.
I don't have any of the social media or anything like that. The guys have told me about it. I think home run clips, right? Something like that. Yeah.
So he doesn't know anything about it, but the guys told him about it. So who's the guy that's like, hey, Nathan, did you see what Bregman posted?
Pedroia told him about it.
Absolutely, Pedroia.
So what if... But so does he know that Eovaldi's going to like to hear that? Or now what if that's in his head?
No, I think
what
he's, if Pedroia he's hoping, sabotaged he's hoping him? It lights a fire under Eovaldi before he goes out there this afternoon.
Well, so then there would be your answer to the bulletin board material then.
Oh, yeah, Pedroia told me about it. But he didn't mention it today, so yeah, I got to tell him about it. I don't know. That's for the players, you know. Like I said a few days ago, if you need motivation in game 3 of the ALCS, you better check yourself, you know, because you win 3 more games, you go to the show.
It's like, that's for the players and Pedroia.
Well, and you think about it in this regard, and I understand it's different sports, and I understand different teams run things different ways. Down in Foxborough, they don't ever do anything. They don't say anything.
Nothing.
They don't post anything. They don't, they don't make any brash statements. They kill you with kindness, and it's really worked for them over the years.
Right.
So it's not to say that it is an unsuccessful tactic.
But they also look for it from other people too. Like that's what
do they
do. So not only do they not say anything, but you know, Rodney Harrison would find some random blog and be like, they picked against us. Like, they're all against us. Like, no. Everybody's picking you guys.
Like, that's like after they won the Super Bowl and Rodney said, nobody thought we could win. No, pretty much everybody thought you were going to win.
Everybody did. But hey, whatever works for you. So if that's what helps, then so be it. So again, I am with Cora in the sense that it is game 3 of the ALCS. So you better be ready to go. Like, this shouldn't be what is the deciding factor.
I didn't know how hard I wanted to go this afternoon, right. but now they've made me angry.
But if it's a little extra, like it's hard to quantify that, but sure, that could help. That could help a little bit. And so now Eovaldi, I mean, you better be locked in when you're facing Altuve and Bregman and Springer, no matter what, whether they hit 3 home runs off of you in a row, whether they posted a video or not, those guys you know are capable of it. Bregman's just looking for a strike. As soon as somebody throws him a strike, he probably will go yard, but it hasn't happened yet.
Well, Cora said at the start of the series, I heard him talking about how, you know, they are a cocky bunch over there. And he would know he was there last year. He was
probably
with
likes
them.
It. It's good for them.
And he said they are cocky. And for Bregman to post the video coming off a loss is kind of cocky.
It is.
You know, it's kinda,
it is, yeah.
It's not like you're posting it after you just beat them or something.
No, they're not up 2-0. Like, it's not like they're making a joke of the series. Like, nope. The series is even at a game apiece. You're now facing Eovaldi, and so he decides to post that up there. But, no, I think that's definitely something that has helped them because they have a pretty young team. You remember, you know, last year when they won the World Series, they had a couple of veteran guys that were sort of bench players, kind of role players on the team. But a lot of their best players are really young. I mean, Alex Bregman's just 24, and he might be their best player. Altuve last year was unbelievable. This year it came down a little bit. Correa, Springer. I mean, it's a young group, and – maybe we're starting to learn about their personalities a little bit more. Because I don't know if they necessarily shined through last year. Like, I don't think the casual fan knew much about Alex Bregman a year ago.
I think that Red Sox fans probably feel more confident about this afternoon's game. It's a 5:09 start.
Yeah.
Feel more confident about this afternoon's game than they felt about Sunday night's game. I mean,
yes.
I was the guy who wanted Nathan Eovaldi to start game two of this series. I wanted David Price to start game four. Red Sox fans, just based on what they've seen of Eovaldi late in the year and against the Yankees, they feel pretty good about this.
Well,
guy
this
tonight.
Is a much more fair pitching matchup, it feels like, because David Price in the playoffs versus Gerrit Cole, you didn't like that as a Red Sox fan. Now, they got to Cole, so it didn't matter, right? That Price still wasn't very good. But Gerrit Cole, they hit him around. So now Nathan Eovaldi versus Dallas Keuchel, especially after the last time we saw Nathan Eovaldi, that one's a lot more fair, right? I still think the Astros have the advantage, rotation and bullpen, but that's a little more even than what you expected game two to be.
Let's just say for Alex Bregman's sake, I think he should be happy that Joe Kelly's not starting tonight's game.
Oh, you think he'd drill
he'd
him?
He'd take a 99-mile-an-hour heater right in the ribs, wouldn't he?
And then he'd go take first base again, because every single time he's up, he takes first
base.
And
Kelly would be saying, well, I can throw four pitches and send him down there, or I can throw one pitch and send him down there. Either one works for me.
Yeah.
And Joe Kelly is a guy who I think absolutely hit his guy on purpose the other night. I think
How
he did.
Dumb. I mean, you know what? He may have, but just so dumb. So dumb.
Oh, step out on me, will you?
You're like, okay, because he had two strikes on him.
Yeah.
And that ended up being, what, the game-winning run. And so, yeah, because that was an interesting. So after game one, trying to decide whether he did it on purpose, and you're like, all right, either he lost command, which is bad, or he's trying to prove a point and he's just dumb.
Which is also bad.
Which is just dumb in that scenario. Like, maybe later on you can get to him, but not there. And so Bregman, I mean, that'll be the question here tonight, too, because, you know, we saw the, we referenced it yesterday, but Alex Spears' article in the Globe talking about, you know, some of these walks, there's been a lot of walks in the first two games, but I guess some of that is strategy. If you ask me, Dale, dumb strategy. Now, I'm not a baseball genius like that coward Keith Law, but I think walking guys all the time is going to come back to bite you. That's not the best way to go about it. But, hey, we don't want to give him a good pitch. Yeah, okay. There's also still something called like a tough-to-hit strike. Like, you can you know, hit corners or, you know, go up and down in the strike zone. I understand, like, sort of the premise of you don't want to just try to get ahead in the count and throw one right down the middle, because they'll capitalize on that. They're an aggressive team. But to give away so many free passes, that is not a sound strategy.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Here's the schedule, the agenda for today. Willie McGinnis, Patriots Hall of Famer, will join us at 11:30. Noon 30 today is Kiefer Madness. 1:30 today, Chris Forsberg will join us, and we will preview the start of the Celtics season tonight.
Ooh, can't wait.
In Philadelphia against the 76ers.
In Boston.
In Boston. Yes, here. So all of that's upcoming. All of those guys, well, Forsberg and McGinnis will join us. Keith's got Kiefer Madness whether he joins us or not.
That's right. Doesn't matter.
Be here.
It's all good.
But we'll get to your calls in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI. I would imagine that if Nathan Eovaldi does a good job here tonight, like he did in the Yankees series, if somehow the Red Sox find a way to win this thing tonight, all of a sudden Red Sox Nation will go from Sunday morning where this series was over, they might get a gentleman's sweep out of it and maybe win a game.
Right.
It'll go to, this thing's over, get ready for the World Series and bring on the Milwaukee Brewers.
No, if they're up 2-1, you can't say it's over.
Oh, that's what, I'm saying what
well,
Red
people
Sox
get excited,
Nation
sure,
will
sure, but
say.
I will not. I am a member of said nation, but I would not say that the series is over because you still have, you know, Chris Sale starting in game five. What is going on with him? You have no idea. Is he going to be throwing 90? Is his stomach hurt? Is his shoulder hurt?
I mean,
like,
Alex Cora's talking about, well, we're going to assess, you know, what's going to happen going forward. Hello?
I know. He's your game five starter, or so we were led to believe. And you know there's going to be a game five, no matter what happens tonight.
We know
so,
that. We know they're playing Thursday
no matter what. So I don't know. I mean, I think this series is, even if the Red Sox find a way to win tonight, is far from over. Now, that would be impressive. That means Eovaldi goes down there and wins, well, at least the game that he started, two games on the road in the playoffs. That would obviously be impressive. I would assume that means the bats remained hot and were active against Dallas Keuchel. So that remains to be seen. But no, I mean, I still, even after Sunday, even after finding a way to, you know, hit around Gerrit Cole and get a win with David Price on the mound, I still feel like Houston's the better team and is going to win the series.
See, I picked the Red Sox going in. I'm not going to change now.
It's 1-1. There's no reason to change.
No, and I'm not going to change. But I freely admit, when I picked the Red Sox going into the series, I thought Chris Sale was okay.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I don't think he's okay at all.
No, he's definitely not. And that's one
and
thing
And I don't
where,
think it's just a tummy ache.
No, I'm still worried more about the shoulder. Like, I don't know what the stomach illness was or whatever that is, but hopefully it's long past by Thursday. But he's throwing low 90s. He walked four guys and hit a batter. You never
did not
see
look
that
right at
in
all.
Four innings. He doesn't walk
flipping
four guys.
Frisbees up there. Yeah, no, or, you know,
didn't look right. Didn't feel right. So that is obviously a huge concern because I don't think them being tied 1-1 going to Houston is really that much of a surprise. But the
we
fact
thought it would be the other way around.
Right? You thought they thought they would flip it, and for a moment there, even though Sale only went four innings, you thought they had a real opportunity. I mean, they had Justin Verlander on the ropes. He couldn't find the strike zone, but then he was able to get out of that inning. Maybe he got the benefit of a call, but regardless, he got out of the inning, and then you know they go on to win the game. But I think it's clear we're seeing the two best teams in baseball, although at times they've both looked kind of sloppy in the first two games, right? Like I think these are the best lineups, and these are the two best teams, but at times they've both looked a little shaky.
But going into the NLCS, did you think the Dodgers were the better team?
I picked the Brewers.
I thought the Dodgers were the better team, and they don't look good at all.
The Brewers were just so hot that I picked them to win it. Now, that one's only 2-1, so who knows what'll happen there. But I thought the Brewers were better. But either way, it was setting up for whoever wins the ALCS is going to win the whole thing. Like, I mean, crazy things happen. Somebody could get hot or whatever, or the bats just go cold. But I would expect the winner of this series to win the World Series, and really not even all that competitive compared to what this series should be.
Well, it'll be fun to see whatever happens, but the 5 o'clock start today sort of messes with a lot of folks. I mean,
yeah,
those folks
about?
Who have to work for a living
yeah.
will get to listen to Joe and Tim on their way home right. from work and then pick it up on TV when they get there.
But the game will be over before midnight, though, which
maybe.
And was it in a couple of nights? The game's at like 8:30, so like an 8:30 start. So that's definitely got midnight written all over that one. So, but yeah, 5 o'clock, it's fine. I guess it's fine. It's good for us.
And I guess Saturday, if they play game 6, I guess that one's at 5 o'clock as well.
Okay.
Mm. Weird start times.
It is odd.
Somebody said to me yesterday or the day before, who picks 5 o'clock? Now, I know they've got a game in Los Angeles, which they're going to play afterwards.
Yeah, that's
got to
be
and,
it.
And, you know, they want to start that one at 8:10 or whatever it is. So you got to play
o'clock tonight.
Is it 9? They're
nine
playing
is
it?
The scheduled start.
So they're figuring we got to get it over with, theoretically, before
be
that
a
one starts.
4-hour game. That sounds about right.
Evaldi's pretty quick, though.
Yeah, he is, depending on how long he lasts.
Ooh. You are so pessimistic about
no,
him.
No, no, no. Realistic. He is a Yankee
Keith?
Killer.
Is
I said, Keith? I said, no, not negative Keith, just Keith. Just realistic Keith. I said Evaldi. I wanted Evaldi. Remember when he was going to pitch game 4 against the Yankees? And I said that was outrageous. And I wanted him to start game 2. He ended up starting game 3 and was dominant. I was not surprised. I predicted that. I loved Evaldi in that series. I don't like him as much in this series. He owns the Yankees. He's their kryptonite. That's a Superman reference.
Well, 16 runs.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, hold on, though.
What?
Isn't it just the opposite the case for David Price and the Yankees?
No,
he's
playoffs.
He pitched great against Houston.
No, but playoff Price.
Oh, so that overcomes everything. It's not
yeah.
playoff.
Yes.
So wait a minute.
Of course
wait a
playoff
minute.
Price
David,
matters.
David
yes.
Price sucks against the Yankees, which
right.
he has.
Which
there's
is not a good thing.
No doubt about
as
that.
As a member of the Red Sox.
I understand.
That, okay.
Hasn't right. done well
not
at all.
Great.
He's pitched great against Houston.
But
his
playoffs.
Whole career.
No, but it's the playoffs.
He pitched great against Houston in the playoffs last year.
And I don't know if
he threw six scoreless innings against Houston last year.
In the bullpen.
Yeah.
He's not a good starter
in the playoffs. He didn't give up a run.
No, I understand that.
It's
but he
like
didn't start.
Everything I say. It's well, yeah, but admit this.
No, what do you mean?
Well,
everything you say. I'm just saying playoff Price. Period. That's it. You only need two words. Playoff Price.
Playoff Price
and then
against
comma,
Houston
sucks.
Playoff
That's all you
Price
need to say.
Against Houston's been great.
Playoff Price against Houston was a reliever. What about
and
playoff
pitched,
Price as
and
a starter?
Great.
What about him as a starter? We just saw it on Sunday and he sucked. Everybody's trying to make it out like he was great. You were making excuses for him yesterday. Ah, well Bogaerts played back and short. Oh, there's a little duck snort single by Springer.
I never those brought up runs, the Springer when you did.
No, it's a duck snort.
I didn't bring up Springer. You did.
You said two runs shouldn't have counted against
when you
him.
Get the chance to work duck snorting, duck snorting you got to jump on the opportunity.
No, he was bad in that game. That's the most recent thing that we've seen. So, and I've made the point, too. He pitched really well in 2015 in the regular season. He was great. He was the runner-up in the Cy Young. Then he gets to the playoffs and falls apart. So it was really just a double whammy against the Yankees. He was bad against them, and it just happened to be the postseason. So now postseason.
So Nathan
price,
Eovaldi postseason's been great.
No, he has. I'm just saying I don't feel as good. I expect him to go more than four innings. You're allowed to go
he
more
did.
Than four
he,
innings.
He went six against the Yankees, didn't he?
No, he went seven.
Seven, that's
no,
right.
No, but he owns the. He's great against the Yankees. I'm just saying this matchup isn't as good for him. He was really good against those guys. I don't know if you know this, Dale. He at one point gave up back-to-back-to-back home runs.
I hadn't heard that. Astros. Because it once appeared on the internet and then disappeared.
Now it's gone.
It probably never actually
put
happened.
Put it back up.
617-779-7937. Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. I got two things. If Eovaldi can hit his spots like he did against the Yankees, mm-hmm. I don't care who he's pitching against. He's going to be tough to hit. And Keith,
yeah.
I know what you're saying. It is kind of funny about the guy, you know, making fun of Eovaldi, giving up back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, in a league where these guys are so sensitive, you know, you show the pitcher up on the mound after you hit a home run, he's going to hit you next time when you're up.
Right.
Can't
always.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can't imagine that this isn't going to irritate you. Because basically, I think it's even worse than staring at the ball going out. You're basically showing the pitcher up with what he put online. So I don't think he should have done that, and I think Eovaldi has the stuff to basically put him in his place tonight.
He could. No, and you're right. That's the risk that Bregman runs. I mean, I like it. I like trash talk in all sports. I think it adds to it. It makes it a little bit more worth watching. It's like in the UFC or in boxing. When those guys really hate each other, don't you care? Or you're a little bit more invested in the fight.
No, from my perspective, it's
great.
Yeah,
I love it.
I just think the players, generally speaking, don't benefit from this. It's not going to make Bregman swing harder, concentrate more in the box,
yeah,
or actually get a pitch to hit.
But it shows you a little something about Bregman, which I kind of like. Like it gives, there's a little bit more of an edge to Bregman. He's not just a robot that goes out there and plays baseball and then is done and doesn't do anything else and doesn't think about anything.
So you love you some Jalen Ramsey.
Of course I do.
Yes.
Of course I love Jalen Ramsey. And oh, by the way, when Eovaldi had one start against the Astros this year, and he really, Bregman should have added, they hit four home runs off of him. He really should have added that to the little reel as well. He hit three in a row.
He was going to do a second posting, and then they, yeah, I think, squashed him.
Hey, no more of that, Bregman.
Do you think AJ Hinch told him to take it down?
I wonder if he did. That would be kind of lame because now.
Or do you think a teammate told him to take it down?
I don't know what happened there. It must have been Hinch. That's really strange to me because, as Cora had even said, and you brought up, the Astros are kind of a cocky group. Like, they're a very confident group. So this, I think,
and have reason to be. They're the world champions.
Yeah, right.
So.
And they swept the Indians, and I mean, they went to Boston and split, so that's not bad. I just feel like if that's part of who they are, why not keep doing that? Like, be yourself. By posting it and then taking it down, the damage, like whatever potential damage, like extra motivation for the Red Sox or whatever else, that's already been done. So by taking it down, it's kind of like a Keith Law type of move. Like Keith Law would have taken this down because he's a coward and a loser.
You bring everything back to Keith Law, don't you?
He's a low-life loser. Yeah.
AJ Hinch actually was questioned about this yesterday. He has his answer.
Oh, okay.
That's the first question I've ever had in my career that has the word trolling in it.
I'm honored.
He said, hey, yeah, no, it's good. Welcome to, you know, current generation. I obviously there's fun banter. You know, you go back and you hear the New York and the Boston in the New York series. You get the different tweets and the different Instagram posts, and it's all in good fun. And we have a sport full of great personalities. And there's a fine line. Yeah, is it disrespectful? No. If it crosses a line, if you have to question whether it crosses the line, it probably does. And so I don't look any further into that. We want guys to have their personalities, have their fun. Then you got to go out and back it up. If you are going to put yourself out there, you got to back it up a little bit. But this is all in fun banter and competition. And we're playing a baseball game against, you know, against a really good team in front of millions and millions of people. Let your personality shine a little bit.
Yeah, love it. Let your personality shine.
So why'd you take it down? If it's, and,
are you
and
sure
it
that
sure
he did?
Sounds like A.J. Hinch did not tell him to.
Are you sure that he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So why did he?
Why? I don't know. Maybe I have no idea. It was dumb to do it. Dumb to take it down. Great.
I think it was dumb to post it.
No, I don't at all.
Oh, stupid.
Personality.
You gain nothing. You gain nothing.
Well, if you go out there and smack a home run off him again, it's like you called it. You gain.
And if you go out and take an 0 for 3, you look like a dope.
Yeah, but okay. So what about the positive side of that?
Well, there's a negative side as well. What do you gain? What do you gain by
putting
it out there?
You gain notoriety. Now people know who Alex Bregman is.
Yeah, like they didn't know before.
He's got a good chance of being the
National League MVP.
The American League, but nobody knows these guys.
He's going to be in the top 4.
I know, but Alex Bregman, I told you, you could ask the test. You do this to the non-baseball fan test. Ask them if they know who Mike Trout is. Most of them don't. So they certainly don't know who Alex Bregman is. And so if you start, again, people listening to our show know who he is because they're sports fans. But if he's trying to get on the national map a little bit, stuff like this helps.
It doesn't.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? We're talking about him right now.
Yeah, because he took it down.
No, we were going to talk about him anyway for putting it up. I don't even know that he did take it down. I don't see that anywhere.
I think that enough people.
Are you guys on Instagram?
I'm on Instagram. I already looked. It's nowhere on. I think it was if he did take it down, it was on his, you know, he just posted it. But I thought it was part of his story.
And then it just runs out.
And then it went away. But I don't know that.
Okay. According to the story in Houston, he posted it and then he took it down. According to what they wrote in Houston.
But so then you don't like any trash talk then? You think trash talk is all dumb?
I think it's stupid.
Oh, see, I love it.
I think you gain nothing.
I love it.
I think if anything, it puts more pressure on you.
Okay, and then
now you better perform or you look like an idiot.
Well, these guys can. They can live up to the pressure. Maybe he needs that. Maybe he motivates himself a little bit more.
Don't you think he's doing this so maybe Valdi will actually pitch to him?
Yeah,
maybe. Try to get to him and be like actually
that.
Throw at me?
That's a Keefspiracy. Throw a strike, Valdi.
I tend to doubt that Nathan Eovaldi is going to say, look, Alex, I know you told me not to throw a strike to him, but did you see the Instagram? I got to throw strikes to him.
Maybe he was. You're going to try to strike him out. Hard to strike him out.
I don't have any of the social media or anything like that.
Oh, you're not in there? No, I think it's great. It humanizes Bregman a little bit, too. And, like, AJ Hinch talking about did it cross a line? This didn't cross any line. He's not making fun of him or anything. No, I know he said he didn't.
Of course he's making fun of him.
He's saying he didn't. No, I know, but it's not
like... He shows him giving up back-to-back-to-back home runs.
But it's not like...
Because he's... Well done, Nathan. Good job, you.
What do you mean? But it's not like a personal attack. It's like, look at, you know, he's not like making fun of his appearance or his wife or his dog.
But he's making fun of his performance.
No, he's probably patting his guys on the back. Like, these are home runs that we hit. Oh, it happened to be off of that guy. Oh, we're going to face him.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Him.
Oh,
so Dale,
I didn't even realize he was the pitcher.
How boring and lame is that? No trash talk in sports? Hey, guys, shut up and play. I want you all to be robots. So you'd watch robots? You'd watch robots play?
Shut up and play.
Dale wants to watch robots.
Yeah, like Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. They're robots. I hate watching them play.
Gronk talks a little bit. Mm-mm. Brady will talk after games a little bit.
Rob Gronkowski is Captain Cliche.
Until he isn't. He's talked about stuff
before. Almost never.
He's throwing guys out of the club. He's talked about that.
Well,
a little
that was
bit
physical.
After game.
I mean,
no, but
physical
then he was
stuff.
The one that
like
said
that
throw guys
the other day. I love that.
But then he said throw guys out of the club. He even said that afterwards. They've made comments before too. But you need the trash talk. And what's made those guys even better is the trash talk that comes their way. It makes it more exciting. Like when Brady went after Anthony Smith all those times, that was amazing. But it was because Anthony Smith said something,
and he never said a word. He just did it.
Shut up and
he
dribble.
He ran right up in his face and was screaming at him.
Saying,
what are you talking about?
He never said anything.
He didn't say a word to Anthony Smith?
Before
Smith,
the game.
He did?
You're not listening to me.
No,
which,
I'm not.
By the way, it's not unusual.
What about Rodney Harrison and Freddie Mitchell? He wasn't talking any crap to him?
Oh, no, he absolutely did.
Of course he
did.
Was. No trash talk.
I said Brady didn't say a word about Smith until he burned him.
Okay, that's trash
and
talk.
And then he went up. No, trash talk is when you do
that's
it beforehand.
Talk. You can't trash talk on the court or on the field? Of course you can. You're talking about just bulletin board material ahead
right,
of time.
Right, which is
but it's
dumb.
All good.
It's
no,
all
it's
dumb.
Not. No, it's not.
617-779-7937. We will have Willie McGinnis join us at 11:30. Chris Forsberg at 1:30 to preview the Celtics opener. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Felt like it wasn't an effort issue. It was a miscommunication issue. Do you agree with that?
Oh, no.
Kalen, what challenge did Cole Beasley pose today?
Oh, no.
Defense usually plays with, you know, a lot of swagger and confidence. What needs to happen to kind of get you guys motivated?
I don't know.
You personally, I mean, have you experienced a loss like this?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that Jalen Ramsey talks a good game, doesn't he?
He does. He's the best.
You go out and give up a 40-burger, and all of a sudden you turn into a big bunch of I don't knows.
What do you want to be, perfect? You want the guy to be 16-0, Dale? It's not going to happen. Everybody takes a loss. He'll be back better than ever.
Maybe. Doesn't sound like he's in very good shape there, does he?
Well, after the game. Sounds like Belichick. What are you talking about?
Belichick sounds like that after a win.
No, I know. Maybe he's just harnessing his Belichick.
I don't know.
Kalen, what challenge did Cole Beasley pose today?
I don't know.
Cole Beasley? What? Cole Beasley kind of torched you there a few times. I don't know.
617-779-7937. Taylor's up in New Hampshire. Hey, Taylor.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
So you're missing the whole point of this Bregman thing. It's not genius, but it is a smart move. He's trying to get them to pitch to him.
Yeah, I know. Rossi had the same idea. I think maybe you're onto something. Maybe you said, hey, why don't you throw one in here, see what happens.
That's what. And everybody's all upset. Well, unless the Red Sox go out and they just all hit them every time instead of walking them. I love the walks, by the way. You're completely wrong about that, Keith. The walks are great.
Yeah, the walks were great. It really helped them in game one. Really helped them in game one. 10 walks, 3 hits batters.
How close was it?
They lost the game.
How close was it?
They lost the game.
And also,
how close was it? Does that matter? Does that help?
What do you mean? Yes, that absolutely
matters. Oh, it does. Okay. All right. So as long as they keep it close, they can lose in 5. That's fine. Keep it close.
Every single game. They could win, too.
But they lost. The game where they walked 10, they hit 3 guys. I don't think it's a great strategy.
It's not. It doesn't have to be great. It's just a strategy. What you have to.
Okay. Well, everybody can have a strategy. Don't you want a great strategy?
What's the series at right now?
It's 1-1.
Okay then.
Oh, so game over? They got to win 4. You can't just win 1.
Okay, that's going forward.
Okay, they might not come back to Fenway.
It can though.
I know it can, but they might not.
The sky could fall tomorrow, too.
I doubt it. The sky's been there for billions of years. I think we're going to be fine.
The Red Sox are a better team.
They're not. They're definitely not.
They're going to prove it.
They're not better.
I've been watching and seeing, like, listening and then watching is two different things because they are just better.
They're not better.
We hear the naysayers, we put that black cloud over the top, but the Red Sox.
You think the rotation's better, or what about the bullpen?
I think that as a team, as a whole, they're better.
I disagree.
They're ready to rock. They're ready to get it. Houston is really good.
Right.
But the Red Sox are just better. But real quick about the
disagree.
Patriots. You guys are talking about this. Oh, 40 burger. The Patriots gave a 40 burger, too. Our defense is not better. You're talking about
how we never said the Patriots had a great defense.
You were talking about how other teams' offenses were good, but they couldn't win the Super Bowl. The Chiefs came in here on the road and gave up 40 points. The Patriots were at home and gave up 40 points.
Right. Okay.
So...
Yeah, but it was close, though, right?
You're telling me that Kansas City's defense is worse than the Patriots' defense?
I think that it is.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah, we know where they
played. Where was the game on Sunday?
So you were at home.
Oh, okay.
Why were you not better?
Taylor, do you think the Kansas City defense is better than the Patriots' defense?
I think so.
Okay, then. I don't know how we...
I can't make heads or tails of that one. Nobody said the Patriots' defense was great. And on Sunday, they didn't even look that good. But Kansas City's offense
is
great.
We never made any argument that the Patriots are an elite defense. In fact, just the opposite.
They need to be better.
There were folks named Mark James who said Jacksonville.
Who said
Jacksonville had an elite defense. And all I said was, elite defenses don't give up a 40 burger to the Cowboys.
There's not a lot of elite defenses anymore. But it's because of the rules. Like, it's hard to be an elite defense. You can't hit the quarterback.
I thought Minnesota had a real good defense.
I did too.
They've given up the exact same number of points per game as the Patriots this year.
Yeah, I thought they were great. But then they were getting run up and down the field by the Rams. So I think the defense is, it's just really tough to be a great defense. But also, Kansas City and New England have two of the best offenses. So, I mean, they're going to make average to below average defenses look even worse. They just are.
Jerry's in North Andover. Hey, Jerry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You were asking who knew who Alex Bregman was. Well, I'll tell you, those of us who pay attention to this sort of thing know that he's the world's greatest Jewish baseball player. And that's not
Is that
Tom
right?
Liver.
Huh.
Yes, that's not Tom.
You know who I liked was Sean Green.
He was okay, but he's no Alex Bregman.
Well, Sean Green had a great career. I mean, Bregman he's on his way to being better than Sean Green, but I would say Sean Green was better.
Well, you know, it's not exactly an encyclopedia long book, but there's plenty of them.
You like Kevin Youkilis? Kevin Youkilis had some nice seasons.
Greek god of walks.
Yeah. And now the Greek god of hops.
Hops. Yeah.
Yes, and the Greek god of Tom Brady's brother-in-law, right?
Sure.
So he's not doing too badly. It just shows
No.
you.
Gabe Kapler.
Yes, perfect. Yeah. No, there's more than you think.
I think we've pretty much plumbed the depths of your
we've exhausted
your Jewish baseball players list.
Ryan Braun? Ryan Braun.
I don't think we're going back to Sandy Koufax's time, too. But it just seems to be going back a little further
Ian
in time.
Kinsler? Is that right, Rossi? Rossi's got the encyclopedia.
According to Bing.
According to Bing. Hey, there you go. Not
you
bad.
You just said Bing to make him happy, didn't
well,
you?
Well, that's what he does. That's the search engine
I,
in there.
I actually never, I mean, this just me. Just speaking
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
I don't ever think about, oh, I wonder if he's Jewish or not.
I never do.
I wonder if he's Presbyterian.
Never, ever.
Oh, I bet he's a Baptist.
So that's my point. That's who knows who Alex Bregman is.
That
guy. Those are the people who know who Alex Bregman
is. I think that there are a lot of people who know who Alex Bregman is who didn't even know that he was a Jewish ball player.
Correct. No, baseball fans, without a doubt, know who Alex Bregman is. But outside of that, I mean, you got to be kind of a diehard. First of all, he's only been in the league a couple of years. And if you're not watching a lot of Astros games, as good of a player as he is, he's not, you know, if I was like, hey, name the 10 most famous baseball players, he's not on the list. But if you're like, name the 10 best,
he's on the list.
He probably is, yeah.
Might be on the list of the top five.
I mean, he's definitely
well,
he's up,
unless
he's
you don't pitch to him, and then it's hard for him to be the best.
Get a hit, would you?
Mike's in North Providence. Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys. I'll cast my vote for Lou Gehrig on the greatest Jewish
team. Okay, but thanks.
Player.
We appreciate it.
All right, Mike. Thank you.
Okay, so anyways, with regards to defense, you know, we've seen this team start slow many times in the past. So, I mean, honestly, I'm not getting really that worked up about it. And two things to keep in mind is within the team, you could see somebody like J.C. Jackson or Crossan maybe displace McCourty and really solidify the, cornerback play. And also, never underestimate Belichick and just the predatory trade. Like, for example, you know, Kyle Van Noy in a seventh rounder for a sixth rounder. Why? Because, oh, Van Noy can't play. Oh, wait a second, he can play here. You know what I'm saying? Belichick has got those tendrils out throughout the league. I'm sure he's already got quite a few people he's got his eye on that he'll try to go and pick off as other organizations when the time is right.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I mean, he's the most active
deals.
Guy.
He makes deals around the trade deadline where a lot of teams don't.
He's
never been afraid.
Somebody defensively.
As we sit here this morning, the Patriots are tied for 18th in the NFL in points given up per game with the Minnesota Vikings, 24.7 points a game.
Yikes.
Best in the league, Baltimore is 12.8. They're 5 points better than the
well,
number
so there
two.
You, go. All right,
you
so
know
maybe
who the second best defense is? Points per game. Now, I'm not talking about yards, just points. If I give you 31 guesses, you might not get this one.
Bears?
Dallas.
Really?
17.2 points per game.
Wow. Well, they just allowed, what did the Jaguars score? 7 on them. So that definitely helps from last week. But still, yeah, the Patriots, so 18th in the stat that we know about.
Of course, they just gave up that 40 burger.
And so where do you
out.
Think the line is? Now, it's probably not an exact science, but if you're in that stat, just sort of, you know, top 10, can that win the Super Bowl? Nowadays, is it top 15? Like, you know, I wonder how far that line goes. Because before, it was probably top 5. Like, you're probably really looking for that top 5 defense, which the Patriots actually were last year, despite what happened in the Super Bowl.
Fifth best defense in points per game.
Yeah.
And I know everybody then wants to go, yeah, but how about yards per game? They were awful in yards per game, which, again, Belichick says he doesn't care about.
Well, the first half of the Kansas
City game. But if you're wondering, the Patriots are 20th in yards allowed per game.
Well, the first half of the Kansas City game kind of proved out, you know, I know it's kind of even cliche at this point, but bend but don't break, because they weren't really getting stops until it was in their own territory, and then they were forcing field goals. So what could have been 21 points was 9. And, like, what a significant difference that is. And that's what they were doing in the first half. So the yards are going to go up, up, and up. But then the points, second half, they were no longer kicking field goals. They were giving up touchdowns, and then it got out of hand.
Bombs.
Oh, yeah.
617-779-7937. Cam's in Medford. Hey, Cam.
What's up, Cam?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I just want to talk about the Bregman post.
Yes.
No, I think the Bregman post was awesome, even though I'm a Red Sox fan. But just talk about how it mentally throws off of Valdi. Valdi had an unbelievable start against the Yankees, and pitchers are known to be some mentally unstable people. So
they are.
I want to hear your thoughts on sure. what you guys think.
Pitchers are known to be mentally unstable, really?
Well, they got David Price here.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not talking about goalies.
No, we're not. Goalies and kickers.
Goalies and kickers. I never heard that pitchers are mentally unstable.
I don't know. Well, yeah, closers might be, some of them. They're a little off, a little screwy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this is going to affect Evaldi one way or the other. I personally, like you, Cam, I liked it. I think it adds a little bit more flair to the series, gives you a little something extra if you're a Red Sox fan. If you want to hate Bregman, go for it. Or, you know, he's showing off, you know, a little public trash talk. I don't mind it at all.
So, Cam, if you think that he was doing it to get in Evaldi's head, why'd he take it down?
That's a good question. I think the organization probably made him take it down. Not a good look. But I think as far as, like, baseball, that's what baseball needs. It's going to get more people to watch, especially with, like, all the Yankees, how they played, like, New York and whatnot. It's good for the sport, but I don't know why. Maybe the organization made him take it down.
Yeah, apparently A.J. Hinch didn't, based on the cut that we played, although he could have said one thing publicly and another thing privately. That's happened before.
But I'm still not convinced he's taking it down.
It's confirmed he's taking it down.
How long was it up there for?
I can't confirm that, but I can say it was part of his Instagram feed, and then about, you know, some point yesterday afternoon was deleted.
So, but you're right, Dale. A.J. Hinch made it sound like, hey, it's not crossing a line. Like these guys, like that's what they want to do.
We have a sport full of great personalities. And there's a fine line. Yeah, is it disrespectful? No. If it crosses a line, if you have to question whether it crosses the line, it probably does. And so I don't look any further into that. We want guys to have their personalities, have their fun. Then you got to go out and back it up. If you are.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. You do have to go out there and back it up.
By the way, could have said something completely different to Alex Bregman, you know, behind closed doors, and in an attempt to protect his player, publicly he comes out and says, oh, good, clean fun, where behind closed doors, he said, what are you doing? Come on.
I mean, maybe.
He definitely took it down, and my guess is, well, look, he could have had second thoughts. He could have looked at it and said, God, I don't have a hit in this series, and I'm ragging on this guy. You know, maybe I need to, you know, look at my life. But my guess is somebody told him to, or at least suggested that he did. And it could be a teammate, by the way.
Yeah, could have been. I mean, maybe one of the
veteran
guys.
He's a younger player.
Yeah, I was going to say a veteran guy on the team.
And a veteran guy on the team could just say, come on.
Come on, do you need to do this? Do you need to give them any extra
motivation?
Did
we think that what Aaron Judge did was stupid? Because I thought it was dumb.
I thought it was dumb, but I thought it was – that to me is not as creative or as funny as what Bregman did. Like, to blast New York
– outside the Red Sox clubhouse as you're walking to the bus.
First of all, song is trash. And then – I just didn't think it was very good. And then they could easily use that against you. So now the alternative would be what? You can't really show Bregman giving up home runs. Now maybe you punch out Bregman three times and then you post a video of that. Like, that would be funny. Like, I thought this was just a better, if you want to call it a troll job, bulletin board, trash talk, whatever. I just thought this was more creative than Aaron Judge's. Aaron Judge's was dumb. I don't really care for the song myself.
Well, nobody in Boston cares for the song, for crying out loud. We all hate it.
But then they had to play it in the clubhouse after to sort of get back at them. But really, they were the ones getting punished because they had to listen to it again.
Now, if you play it in the Red Sox clubhouse as you're splashing champagne around,
yeah,
that's a good burn.
A little bit more enjoyable. No, that was a good response by them. I just thought the Judge thing was dumb. The Bregman thing I thought was funny. Even as a Red Sox fan rooting for them to win the series, You kind of tip your cap. You're like, well done. You guys hit back-to-back-to-back home runs off of Eovaldi. So you posted a quick little video. Why not?
A quick little tome.
Quick little, yeah, it was like 15 seconds. He actually left out one of the home runs because they didn't hit four in a row, but they did hit four in that game.
But he just showed the three that were back-to-back-to-back.
Correct.
And then said, oh,
all solo home runs, though. So that's something you can take to the bank.
Well, at the second and third would be hard to hit more than
one. No, but I'm saying even the other one.
Yeah, I know.
Even that four runs in that game.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Willie McGinest will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to Chris Forsberg at 1:30 and preview the Celtics opener tonight against the 76ers. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.